the lex in the aseres of mitzvah. Okay, so you have to understand what exactly is the idea of slichus. Everybody recognizes, anyone that has any kind of insight, recognizes that a human being is in a difficult state. He has conflicts that he has to deal with, and his life, he spends much of his life in trying to resolve his own inner conflicts. They're basically the way the world deals with these conflicts is through one of the methods is through religion. The religious method is a tug of war, simply a tug of war between two sides of the personality. And I say religious method, I don't mean necessarily people that are religious. I mean, it's a general method of the world, but especially it expresses itself in religion, that there's a tug of war between the two sides, and the person tries to get the side that he thinks is the better side to win. So he's involved in an endless conflict and strife. And sometimes he's successful, sometimes he's not successful. But that's basically the method of the world at large. It's the method of our society as well. You see, it's the same method is used when people try to accomplish anything which they consider to be an accomplishment, whether it's losing weight or whether it's being successful, whatever it might be. But the approach is to attempt to have one side, the side that they consider to be the good side, be victorious over the other side, which they perceive as the bad side. There's another method which is a more sophisticated method, is a method which I guess you would call the psychological methods. Psychological methods try to resolve the conflict by the individual gaining insight into their personality and to the causes which their logic dictates or traces down as the things which resulted in their unfavorable situation. That's the psychological method. It's a more sophisticated method. It's a more intellectual method, but they're both two different methods, but neither one of them is the method which Yahadus really employs essentially. Yahadus has a totally different method. The first method is one which an individual really, as I mentioned before, is constantly involved in the tug of war. So the defects, the shortcomings of that method, I think, are obvious. Not necessary to go into it. The second method, the psychoanalytical method, or the psychological method, is one which, according to Yahadus, can never lead a person to a favorable conclusion or to a life that's worthy of human existence, because it is also has the problem that it's an endless involvement with the self, and the problem never leaves the area from which it has begun. So the individual basically remains in the same sphere, doesn't really get anywhere in terms of his focus. His focus is the self, and it remains the self. And Yahadus maintains that as long as that's the situation of man, he never can really have a life that's worthy of human existence, because he becomes engaged endlessly in the self, and that's his whole existence. The method of Yahadus is a different method. Yahadus maintains that the only way a person can attain a true life that's worthy of a human being is to be able to enter into a new sphere, a different sphere of existence. But it deals with the self, but it's with the self on a different plane, you see. But also, it takes him into a different sphere of existence, into the metaphysical sphere, and there man is able to live a life, a different kind of existence, where his involvement is not with the self anymore, but the involvement is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Yedias Hashem. It's a different kind of existence. That is the only existence which Yahadus maintains is worthwhile for a human being and is beneficial for a human being and can give a human being the happiness that is possible for him in this existence. That's basically the outline of the difference in Yahadus and other methods that have been, that people, man has tried to use in an attempt to resolve his difficulties in this existence. Slichus is something, the idea of slichus is something which is alien to the religious mind, because it is something which is pertains to the self and yet does not pertain to the self in the way a religious person thinks. Okay, you see, let me try to explain a little further. For the religious person, you see, slichus really is not tshuva. It's not tshuva. It's a preamble to tshuva. Slichus is an introductory process to tshuva. Okay? What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, Lashon Rambam Hilchos Tshuva is, he says, V'nagu kulam lakum balayla, it's Perek Shlishi Halacha Daled, V'asor yamim elu ulespalel b'vate kneisios, Bidivrei tachnunim uvekivushim, ache yor hayam. Divrei tachnunim uvekivushim. Divrei tachnunim we mentioned, is different than bakasha. Bakasha is tefillah where a person presents a petition before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a specific. That's a certain level of function of Adam in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But tachnunim is different, really. Tachnunim is where a person recognizes the inner strife, the difficulties that he has in his own personal life, in his own personal existence. That's why tachnunim is after tefillah, because it's a different type of, it's not really omei lefnei Hashem. Omei lefnei Hashem requires a certain kavod shamayim where the person presents a petition, a bakasha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In tachnunim, the person is on the ground. His ponov is kavush ba'aretz. His face is in the ground, and he complains, basically, in a certain sense of the word, about his the difficulty of his inner struggle. That's basically what the Talmud is. In other words, the person, he complains about his inner struggle, his inner difficulties. Okay, it's not a specific bakasha. It's a different kind of a thing. It's a recognition of the inner state. It's a different kind of a thing. It means a person has a right to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense of the word, not the full sense of the word, but about his inner difficulties. That's divrei tachnunim. It's a different kind of it. It's a different concept. It's not. That's why it's after the tefillah, and that's why he's really facing the ground, part of kavush baretz. It's a different kind of a thing. It's a different kind of thing. He recognizes the difficulties that he has in terms of his human existence, and he's mispalo, he's lefana veshbar chsichi. It's lefnei Hashem. I mean, about the difficulties that he has. These difficulties, see, now the thing is as follows. Why is it called Tachtonim? It's Arenotus. It's Matnas Chinam. Why is it Matnas? What does that have to do with Matnas Chinam? What does it have to do with Matnas Chinam? Leschanen L'Hashem Ba'isayim. Why is it Matnas Chinam? The answer is because in Tachnunim, you don't necessarily isolate the cause of your problem. You see. In Tachnunim, what's the question? Just give me a second. Nein Hashem, Rufayni Yad Hashem, ki nivalu atzomoy, v'nafshi nivalu amoy. It doesn't say why nafshi nivalu amoy. It doesn't trace the cause of why it is so. Is it my fault? Is it something I could do anything about? That is irrelevant. See, it's irrelevant. In other words, tachnunim means that the person asks God to help him out of a situation of internal strife and difficulty without going into what the cause of it is. You see, the cause is not really what the tefillah is about. It's the state and asking God to help remove him from that state. So that's why it's tachnunim, because in a regular case of tshuva, you see, so a person recognizes that he did something wrong and he corrects it. So there he isolates the cause and he removes it. You see, that's one kind of a relationship that a person has with that kadosh baruch hu. But over there, it's causal. You see, he understands what he did wrong and he does tshuva. That's a different kind of a phenomenon. In Tachnunim, the person doesn't isolate the cause. I don't know what the cause is. And it's probably my fault. It's probably because I'm not strong enough. It's probably because I have certain fears. I have certain irrational, there's an irrational part of me that can't live up to what I should be living up to. So why is it most of a person's fears are really groundless? And what does Chazal say? Chazal say that a person is afraid of things. Chazal say that a person worries about things, and most of the time these things don't happen. So what happens? He spends his life. The person spends his life worrying about things that never happen. So in the meantime, he wastes his life in worry. But the fact is that Odom is a person is weak. A person is that way. That's the nature of man. So that's why it's called Tachnunim, because you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you out of a situation which really is your own problem. It's your own problem. It's your own weakness, you see. In other words, in Tachnunim, you don't isolate the cause. In Tachnunim, you just say, Chonei Yad Hashem ki umlaloni, Refein Yad Hashem ki nivalu atzamoy, v'nafshi nivalu ma'oid, v'ator Hashem admasoy. You see. So it means to say, that yagaiti van chosi atzcha b'cholal mitasi b'dimasi asi amse osho mikaseini osko b'chol tzeroi. So is it justified that I should be in such a state? So I have enemies and I have fears and I'm afraid they're going to destroy me. But basically, if I were on a higher level, it wouldn't bother me. The point is in tachnunim, the person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him out of his own human weakness, the human situation, which really is a result of his own weaknesses. It's an interesting concept. It's a different concept. Tefillah is completely different. Tefillah means the person understands what he wants. He evaluates what his needs are. He comes to a rational conclusion that this is what he needs, and he places this petition before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he's truly, if the individual is truly a chacham, so the individual has a right to make that kind of a request, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds like Tfilas Chana. Okay, that's the model of all Tfilas. So that's a different concept. You see, that's a different, Bakasha is a different concept. Tachnunim is, that's what Tachnunim means. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Matnas Chinam. Because you're not, it's not a tefillah. It's simply the person recognizes that because of his human condition, he finds himself in this state. It's his own fault. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for nothing, for no reason. Chaneini Yad Hashem, Ki Umlalani. It means he just can't take it anymore. You see, that's a different kind of a thing. Yahadus recognizes that a person has a right to be mischanein lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tachnuna means. That's what mischanein means. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
I think solve the problem if you haven't gotten to the underlying cause.
You see, that's exactly what I'm saying. In other words, that is the idea that Yahadus says, that when a person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, that is the solution. That is his solution. If you person can get to a cause, there's no question about it. That if a person can get to the cause, he should. He should trace the cause. That's tshuva, that's correct. Person should trace the cause through tshuva, or a person should analyze and ask a bakasha. But that is not the whole of man. There's a part of man that still remains unresolved, conflicts that are unresolved that he can't understand at this moment. He's not capable of. He may never be able to fully understand himself. You see, of course. So Yahadus works on two different tracks. One track is the isolation of the problem. That's of course the first and foremost. I mean, that's tshuva, and then there's tefillah. Those tracks exist, but there's another track, another part of man, where the individual recognizes his own weakness and turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. That's what I'm going into the idea of that leads into the idea really of slichas. You see, that's what Ram says. Ram's very careful with lachem. Ram says lachem. He says lachem balayla ba'asar yom elu ulispal b'batei kneisios b'divrei tachnunim uvekivushin. What is kivushin? Kivushin is even more. Kivushin really, divrei kivushin means where the person actually puts himself down. You understand what I mean? Divrei kivushin means where the individual is defeated. Right. Divrei kivushin is where the person laments. It reproaches himself. Reproaches. That's the word. Divrei tachnunim v'kivushin is self-reproach. Self-reproach. So, tachnunim v'kivushin. Tachnunim means recognition of his sorrowful state, and kivushin is self-reproach. Now, you see, what I want to explain is like this. This is the point that I started off with. That is that the religious individual, the religious quote individual, means that this person only understands one thing. He only understands, am I responsible or am I not responsible? See, the religious individual is only concerned about the self. And all he's worried about is, am I responsible? Am I wrong? Am I right? Am I responsible for my situation, or am I not responsible for my situation? If you would tell the religious person, and you'd say to the religious person, say, you know something? You didn't do anything wrong. That would be all you want to hear. That's it. Or you did something wrong, and you repented, and that's it. Now you're free. You did tshuva, and you're patur. You see? That is really the whole world of the religious mind. You see, am I wrong? Am I not wrong? Do I have to... I'm talking about a sincere religious person. Do I have to repent? Do I not have to repent? Did I repent properly? But that's basically the extent of their world, you see. Yahadus has a far deeper understanding. for Yahadus Chait is far more than just responsibility. It's a different kind of a thing. You see, for the religious person, the only question, the religious person is completely self-absorbed. And the question is, are there criticisms against me, against the self, or are there no criticisms against me? That's all it's concerned about. You tell him there's nothing, that's it. You don't have anything to worry about. You didn't do anything wrong, so he's fine, he's happy. But Yahadus recognize, so for him, chait, see, for the religious person, chait is nothing more than did I succeed or did I fail? That's the whole question. Am I right or am I wrong? That's all he's concerned about. But Yahadus recognizes that that is a very shallow kind of an understanding of life. Because chait is not a question simply of if you were right or if you were wrong. But then it would be simply like an artificial situation. Like a situation where the teacher sets up rules and the student has to say, did they comply with the rules? Did they not comply with the rules? A good student or bad? Am I good or am I bad? That's all the student has to worry about. Who determines whether they're good or bad? The teacher determines. The teacher lays down the rules and whatever those rules are, so the child has to either comply with the rules and be good, or if they disobey, then they're bad. That is a completely childish attitude. In the schoolroom, of course, it works, because there the child's only obligation is to be in line with the teacher's rules. The teacher's job to make up the rules. But there's no reality beyond the rules. The reality is the rule. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Yahadus recognizes that idea of life, that way of thinking, is a very shallow way of thinking. Because that way of thinking would mean that chait is simply an artificiality. It's an artificiality. There's no reality to chait. It's artificial. It's God set up the system. Did I comply? Did I not comply? That's it. But there's no... And if I comply, then everything's fine. If I didn't comply, then that's it. But Yahadus is far deeper. Yahadus recognizes that chait is a distortion of a way of life. That Adam was created in a certain way. And if he lives in that way, so then he's very fortunate. If he veers away from that way of life, he's unfortunate. Not because he's disobeying, but because there's a reality of chait. It's a distortion of the personality. It would be like a person who follows a person who's a Rahman Islan ill and follows a doctor's advice. He may be very good at following the doctor's advice. He's a good patient. But it doesn't mean he's well. You see, it doesn't mean he's well. Whether he's healthy or ill is dependent upon an objective reality. You see. And that's why the Nevi'im, the Ram mentions Nevi'im, compared Chulei HaNefesh to Chulei HaGuf. Because they wanted to show the people that there's a reality in the Chulei HaNefesh, which means to say that a person that's involved in chait has to, by definition, cannot partake of the good. I mean, it's impossible, because man has a certain nature, and if a person is not living in line with that nature, so then he's unfortunate. In reality, it's impossible for him, it is impossible for a soul that is not living according to the way the Torah prescribed for man, which is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yetziras HaOdom, you see, and the way man is created, and man has a certain nature. So if man doesn't live in accordance with that nature, it is impossible for him to partake of the good. It's just virtually impossible. I don't care if it's his fault, I don't care if it's not his fault. It makes no difference whether it's his fault or not. I give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you have a teenage shenishbis. So the Ram says, teenage shenishbis, so it's not his fault. It's not his fault. So you have to make karavim. On the contrary, even though he's very, very surim chamurim, he's over very, very serious averas. So you have to treat him with ava, and you have to be make karavim, and you have to do everything you can to bring him to the das or emes. Okay? Yeah, but I'll ask you a question. Let us say it's not his fault. But can you say that this teenage Nishbis is living in a way where he's partaking of the good of the Torah? I mean, it's impossible. What kind of a life does he have? Cannot have. It's impossible for the person to have a good life. Virtually impossible. And he can't. It can't. His fault or not his fault doesn't make any difference. You follow what I'm saying? Yahadus recognizes that in chait, see, for the religious person, chait is just a question of, is it my fault, is it not my fault? That's all. But Yahadus recognizes something much deeper, and that is chait is something which takes the person away from a certain reality of existence. And it doesn't matter whether it's his fault or not. But the fact is, he's a distorted individual, and the life that he lives is a distorted life. That's a reality. It has nothing to do with his fault or not his fault. It's a separate, completely separate idea. You follow me? Completely separate idea. So what I want to say is like this. That Slichus is based on that idea. Slichus is not true. Slichus is not Shiva. Slichus is divrei tachnunin v'kivushin. Self-reproach and recognition of the state that the individual is in, you see, that the state that the individual is in, and turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the fact that we're in that state, you understand? It is not, it's not Shiva. It's a recognition of the seriousness of our defective condition. You follow what I mean? And how sorrowful that condition is. It does not deal with blame or not blame. You see. That's really what Slichus is. That's really what Slichus is. You see, it's an interesting thing. But you take a look at the psukim really are broken up into three parts. Okay, the first part, well, actually you say four parts. The first part is l'chor Hashem atzdoka v'lona b'ish tzapanim manis omnin manomer manadabar and manitztadab nach besod rachinu v'nach kar v'nashu v'lecha. Okay, so the first part tells man, is just instructs man what is the correct way for him, what he should do. You see, what he should do. He just lays out a plan of what he should do. I mean, we're in a sorrowful state. Like, for instance, if you take the first lichus, they say in the first day. So, yeah. The Slichus is simply telling us the horrible state that we're in. That's basically what the Slichus is doing. It's a recognition of everything. Okay, it's a recognition of everything that's wrong within ourselves in a metaphysical way, and the distortion, basically, that we are suffering from. You see, is not. It's not a question of are we guilty or not guilty. We're not talking about that yet. That's something which is, that's tshuva. That's a distant step at this point. You see, slichus is simply a recognition of what chait is. But it's an interesting thing. It's a recognition of what chait is, but there's also another twist to it. Okay. So first, the slichus really starts off with what the correct derech hachayim is, and that's we know that's the only approach. Lo v'chesed v'lo v'masim bonu l'fanecho kidalu mucharoshim dofaknud l'asecho. That means that we're not lo v'chesed v'lo v'masim. This is not tshuva. We're approaching our Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you have tshuva, what do you mean lo v'chesed v'lo v'masim? Tshuva is the biggest thing. Tshuva ain't the one mifnei tshuva, and a person that does tshuva, Miyad or Ov, Nechmad, And he norm and he's karv l'shem. So when you say lo v'chesed lo v'masim bono l'fanecha kedalim l'chirashim d'fakud l'secha, it's a different kind of a thing. It means we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with nothing, with absolutely nothing, just one thing. We come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the idea that we recognize how bad our state is because we're engulfed in chait. That's basically what it is. It's a different dimension. It's a completely different dimension. That's why I say that only Gain took out the when we say in the Slichas, you say the Yashamnu Bagadnu, he only has it one time. Because the Yashamnu Bagadnu over there is not Tshuva. It's Tshuva, he said many times. But if it's not Tshuva, it's simply recognition of Yashamnu Bagadnu, Bagadnu, Bagadnu. It's a recognition of our state. So recognition once, that's it. It's part of one time, it's part of the slip. Okay, if it's Tshuva, so you more of Tshuva, say many times, because next time, maybe the next time we'll have a better hear of Tshuva. But it's a recognition of the state, so there's no need to repeat it. You see. So you say, there's a shema shemei tefilo adecha kol basar yavoyu. Yavoyu kol basar shtachas v'nechad Hashem. It means, we approach God kedalamu kerashim. That's basically what the slichas is saying. That's the first aspect of the slichas. Then the second aspect of the slichas is where a person... That's insofar as the self is concerned, you see, that we recognize our state, and we recognize we approach God with the recognition of that state. That's one. Then it goes on. Hinei bochad asad Hashem kolavde Hashem om. This is the second part. Om Hashem b'leilos Hashem mikel b'shamayim uvaros asher yasech ma'asecha v'chigur asecha. And then it goes through all shvach Hashemokan. Because we recognize that in order to improve our state, we need two things. One is the recognition of our state and turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I'll get to a little more, elaborate on a little further. The second thing is recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the second group of psukim. All follow that same idea. Asher b'yodei mechker eretz v'sofes horim lo. Asher b'yodei nefesh kol choy v'ruchol b'sar yodei shumayim piluchot Hashem afim v'chos rayim v'vua toi zirucho tamim v'necho v'chos shumayim afim v'chorot ata farata v'oscho yom all shvach shal mokam straight through v'chol yom afim v'chol laylo ata chinos amor v'shomesh all recognition of straight through all okay. So then you return. See, then you return again. It's an interesting thing. Manom alafanecha yoshev marom. Now you return. So first you start off with the recognition kedalam ukarashim defakmet lasecha, and the only thing to do is to move towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's shemetvichad dachabasivo. That's the first thing. Second thing is remimus Kadosh Baruch Hu. The third thing now returns. Manomal afonecho, manasabal afonecho, manadaber manitztadok. Sort of returns to the first thing. That's it. So can't do tshuva, it's just too horrible. We can't even talk about it. That's basically what the psukim says. In other words, it's not tshuva. It's a recognition that we're hopeless. It's completely hopeless. It's before tshuva. It's a recognition of a state of hopelessness. Then it says, okay, so if it's hopeless, so what's going on in it? It's hopeless. But if it's hopeless, even if we're hopeless, there still is one thing that we still have. And that's darkecho lekenu laharech apecho loroyin v'latovim v'hisi l'asach. You see? And that's the introduction to the Yidil Midas, basically. That's the introduction to the Yidimah Midas. And what is the emphasis? And that's the famous Chazal. What does it say? because that's based on what the Shemeshim tell Erech Hapayin. So that's based on the Tfilas Moshe Rabbeinu. The Tfilas Moshe Rabbeinu, he was responsible for Klal Yisrael by the Ma'asim Raglim. By Ma'asim Raglim. Where it says, "Akena b'deva rishenu ve'asoyis chol agaygol levatzim b'menu." V'hem ha'ash Hashem, v'shomu mitzrayim ki elisa v'checho asom hazem mikir bo. V'omro yoshev arat zazos. So really, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah had two components to it. One was, v'omro yoshev arat zazos, shomu ki ator Hashem bekerv ha'mazeh. We know that God is in their midst. Asha'ayim b'ayin yir ator Hashem v'anon chomer alim v'amad non atal chutnein yom v'amad eish loylo. So we know God is in their midst. It's an interesting thing. That was the first part of his tefillah. His tefillah was two components. One was chilul shem shemayim. That was the first part. But then there's a second part. V'ato yigdal no keich Hashem kasher dibarta lema Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed no se ovon v'fesha. The nake lo yinake, poke davono was a bottom of shishma vibeim. Slach no lavono mazeki gil chasdecho, the chanashena sosa lo omazemi mitzrayim vadhino, vayemar Hashem salachti kivarecha. What was that tefillah so Chazal say? It says, Chazal say very beautifully, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Lashna Pasuk is right more to the sheet that it holds, that the first Shem is, goes with the first part of it, Hashem and Hashem. It's machlokes whether vayavar Hashem upon vayikra ad Hashem ad Hashem. That's how we pask it. Hashem Hashem was the chaplas ad Hashem ad Hashem. But others say, I think Rambam learns vayavar Hashem upon vayikra ad Hashem ad Hashem ad Hashem keler chapayim v'raf chesed. That's why the pasuk is that way. Really. But it says only one time Hashem. But anyways, okay. So Rashi says that Hashem erech apayim. L'tzadikim v'l'rishoyim. It says, Kishe'ola Moshe l'mora motzer Moshe l'akodesh baruch hu. Sh'ei Yoshe v'koisei v'ad Hashem erech apayim. So he saw God was writing Hashem erech apayim. Amalei l'tzadikim. Amalei akodesh baruch hu. No, af l'rishoyim. So amalo. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, Rishoyim yeyavdu. Yeveidu. Rishoyim should let the Rishoyim be destroyed. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayecho Sha'ata Tzorach L'davar Kishechotu Yisrael Be'egel U'B'Meraglim Hispal Moshe Lefonov Be'erech HaPayim Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'lo Amata Li L'Tzadikim Amalei V'lo Amata Li Afler Shayim. So what do you see? So you see that the Yud Gimel Midas, is based on Tefillah. The Tefillah Moshe Rabbeinu that saved Klal Yisrael was really based on what? Was based on Erech HaPayim L'Rishayim. Erech HaPayim L'Rishayim. Really, and that's the Yud Gimel Midas. That's really the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. What's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah say? Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, that's the famous Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Melamech, and the Sadev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shliach Tzibor. Yeah, but before the Gemara says that, the Gemara says like this. It's in Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says, Shenema Nose Ovon V'Over Al Pesham Lemina. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, it's Yud Zayin well. Nose Ovon Al Pesham Lemina Ose Ovon L'Over Pesha. Lish'eris nachalosa. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yachab bar Chanina. Al yov a kutzba. It's like a fat tail, but it also has a thorn in it. You see, it's both things. It's nice, but it's also something inside that is a thorn. Why? It says, because it says, over al pesha lish'eris nachalosa. So he says, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. No say over al pesha lish'eris nachalosa, but if you look carefully, There's a thorn in there, a hard part. L'sheiris nachalaso v'lo l'chol nachalaso. Only l'sheiris nachalaso. So what does it say? L'mi shemesim atzmo kishi rayon, Chazal said. Person that makes himself like he's a leftover, like he's nothing. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marchal. You see. Avuna Rami, Ksiv Tzadik Hashem B'chol D'Rachav, Uksiv V'chosid B'chol Ma'asa. So is he a Tzadik or is he a Chosid? So it says, B'tchila Tzadik. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Tzadik. It means he uses Mishpat. Well, if so, but in the end, when he sees that it doesn't work, is Chosid. So then he uses Midas HaChesed. Rabbi Elazar Rami, Ksiv V'chor Hashem Chesed, Uksiv Kiyata T'shalom L'ish K'ma'aseyo. So is it Chesed or is it Maizen? First, God judges a person according to his masim. You see, ilfi v'amri lo ilfa rami. Ksiv v'rav chesed, that's ibn amidos, uksiv emes. What does that say? Betchilo emes? First, God tries with emes. But v'livsof, v'rav chesed. And then the Gemara says, "Vayavar Hashem upon the Yigram Yechon Umolei Mikra Kosev Yeshaloma Malamech Nitzatav Kosh Baruch Hu Shliach Tzibor Vehel Alamoshe Say the Tfila Amol Kolzman She Yisrael Chotim Yasu Lefonai Kaseder Azev Ani Mochelam." Okay, so what are Chazal saying? That's exactly the idea that Chazal is saying, namely that Slichus, the whole Slichus of Gimel Midas, it means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu something which he couldn't understand. What does it mean? It means to say Moshe Rabbeinu said that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says Rishon Yevedo. So what did God say? No, he said no Afler Rishon. It means to say that it was something that Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand logically. Doesn't make any sense that God should be manig ha'olam in such a manner. Logically, it should have been that the Russia is finished. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megalet to him through Nevuah. You see, that's really what did Chazal saying up and back? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "But you said only tzaddikim." So he said, "Yeah, but you said what's the dialogue?" The dialogue is like this, because it means to say when a person is mispal, he has to understand what he means. He has to understand what he's being misspelled. Can't just be misspelled. He doesn't understand. It's not a shaykh. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was misspelled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, how could you say this tefillah, but you just said before that it's not logical that we're showing you Veda. So how can you say a tefillah? You don't know what you're talking about. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, but you said, Afla Shoyim. It means I didn't understand it myself, but after I received it through Nevuah, and I thought into it, then so it means that he understood the idea, because without the idea, it can't be misspelled. So it's something which a person can only understand. That's the whole idea of Nevuah. The whole idea of Nevuah is that the hardest thing is for a person to come up with an idea. The initiator of the idea is always the greater genius. But once someone breaks through the idea, then a lot of people can understand. But those people that understand it would not be able to arrive at the idea themselves. But once the idea is once the idea exists because of it is brought out to light, then other people can understand it. That's the idea of Nevuah. Nevuah means anything that we receive with Nevuah means that the human mind would not be able to themselves make that discovery. But once it is received, then the person. That's really the dialogue. But it means to say, so what do you see from this? That the whole concept of the Gimel Midos, of the Erech HaPayim, really, and that's why I say, that's the whole Slichus. Dakacho lekenu laharech hapecho, laroyin v'latovin v'hisi lasecha. That's really the whole tefillah. L'mancho lekenu asev l'alona, rei mi yitzin down v'reikin. Hanasham Allah Vaguf Pa Allah Husa Allah Malach. Son al Shimcha Hashem, Asailman Shemecha, Bavukhar Shimcha Kikel Khanun Varachum Shemecha. Laman Shimcha Hashem, Visolach the Lavainu, Kirahu. Okay? So basically that's really if you look at the Slichas carefully, the Psukim in the way and then the way it was organized, you see that the Slichas conveys this idea clearly. Namely that it is natural. It's a recognition. It's tachnunim v'kivushim. It's tachnunim means a recognition of the tragedy, the tragic state that we're in, metaphysically, the tragic state. And the second, that's the first thing. But the second thing is, so what? So if it's hopeless, it's hopeless. So where are we going with this? Why talk about hopeless situations? There's no reason for it. But the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Pesach. Is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said in his tefillah. Laroyim v'latov means erech hapayim. We're Rishayim. Even though we're Rishayim, so Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu that kol zman shebonai chosen is asur chomer kaseder azev hanochah. It means that you can have slicha. You can have slicha and you have mechila, even without tshuva. It's an amazing concept. Even without tshuva, by merely recognition of the state of the fact that the person is a deviant. I mean that he's living a distorted existence because he's engulfed in faith, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that recognition. And through that, you obtain Slicha Machila. Amazing thing. Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kedvarach. Slicha. Essentially, Slicha. Not Machila, really. Not Machila technically. Slicha. It's Slicha. Okay. Yeah. That's Midas Rachman. Self-reproach. When the self-reproach, that's the same thing. In other words, when you recognize your deficient state, there has to be self-reproach. I mean, that's tachlin v'kivushin. Like it says, there's self-reproach, all right? Engel, kirabasenu, lovach, kedalam ukurashim dafaknud lasechla. Okay? Kiavonasenu robo milimnos, vachatasenu otzmu misaper. That's kivushin. And tachminim is the Ramancha Lekena Sevona. That's not Kavushim and Tachman. It's together. Yes. Yes.
Is Slicha to the individual like Kina is to the Am?
I can't think about that right now. I'll take it.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing. You know? If you take a look at the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, so I mean, just a side point, but the two, Vayomer, it's interesting Rashi over here, because it says, Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvorecha. So what is Rashi saying? Bishvil Masha Amarta Sheyomu Mibilti Yecheles Ad Hashem. Interesting Rashi. I mean, the Ramban says the other way. Salach Kid Racham means because Hashem Hashem Kar Racham Lachanam. It's an interesting Rashi switched it to the first. The two parts to his tefillah really. One part was Chil Hashem Shemayim, V'Amru. Vamru Mitzrayim, Vamru Al Yeshua Tzahi, right? So we what? Mibilti Yechalas Ad Hashem, right? Lavi Samazel, Lachin Nishbalam, Vishchatim Amidbar. It's an interesting thing. So, but Vaato Yidam Lokech Ad Hashem Keshet Debatlam Hashem Erech Apayim Rav Chesed. So apparently Rashi learns that the Kidvarecha, Salachti Kidvarecha, is going on the first element. So yeah, what does it mean? What actually was the first? I just understand what is the first element. What kind of, just to understand the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, has to make sense. There's, that they'll say Mibilti Yecheles Ad Hashem Lahavi Yisrael Maseilot Shenishbam Leishchotem Bamidbar. I mean, what kind of sense does it make? All the Nisim and all the Nisim Gluim in Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. You see, and everything wasn't even built. Yichalos of Hashem. I mean, as a matter of fact, it says the other nations will say, "Kiatar Hashem bekerav Amazer she'ayim ba'ayim nira atar Hashem v'anoncha omer aleim uba'anon onon ata holich b'fnei yomom v'amar eish leila." So what do you need that? You see, yeah. But the pshat, I guess, the pshat is that what it means is like this. What it means is that the Jews, you see, in Mitzrayim, when the Jews escaped from Mitzrayim, so it was just a protective kind of a thing. It wasn't really a victory over the Egyptians. In other words, there was no victory. So the Egyptians couldn't understand, what kind of a god is this? I mean, he all these niches, all things. But meantime, why does he take over the country? Why don't they? This is the heart of civilization. The whole civilized world was Egypt. That was everything. The civilization, the highest level of human existence in terms of in every respect. I mean, that was Egypt. Mitzrayim. So why didn't their God take over this country? Where are they going? Out in the desert. It doesn't make any sense. You see? So the answer was no, because they have to go to a special place. That was the answer. But, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. But if they see that they never get to that destination, so then they're going to say that it was a lie. That really their God is very good when it comes to protection, saving them. But he's not a victorious guy. You see? He can't achieve victory. So that's why they're saying Mibulti Yachalas Ad Hashem, by Yishchatem Bamidbar, means because he destroyed them, because he didn't want any remnant of his own weakness to be realized. That people should realize that any remnants of his, so he simply destroyed them all. But basically, he's a god that can protect them, but he's not a god that can actually a god of conquest. That's really that was the field of Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't make any sense. If he's so powerful, so why doesn't he take over Egypt? Oh, the answer is because they're going over there. That's a special bris of Rome. They have to go to this special place. Yeah, if they get there, they'll believe it. But otherwise, they're not going to believe it. They're going to say, well, what happened over there? Oh, he's not a god of conquest. He's a god that can protect, but he can't conquer anything. Yes? So that was one aspect of the tefillah. But according to Rashi, there was another aspect of the tefillah, and that was midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, you have to understand that whenever something has to be changed in the Bria, requires an intervention, so to speak. I mean, of course, every word that we use is like the Rambam says, homonymous. I mean, it's not, you have to use human terms, but it requires God's intervention, so to speak. You see, a change. So Moshe Rabbeinu, that's really Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Lachanun. It means, the Midas HaRachman means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces change in order to save the people, because if things go the way they were, then they're naturally going to be destroyed. So Vata Yigdal No Kechad Hashem Kasher Dibak Lema. That's what it means. It means that now he is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to exercise a change in the situation in order that they can continue to exist. You see, that's Erech Hapayim. Erech Hapayim means that the Russia really should naturally be destroyed, but now HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a change in terms of the Bria so that he can survive under a new condition. So that's a rational. Shalachti kidvarecha means that because of your tefillah, of kiddush Hashem, that's the reason. But the method was Hashem Hashem kel racham lachanun, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilized midas harachamim, which means that he incorporated a change in the bria, necessary change in order that they should continue because of the tefillah. Of the essence of the tefillah, which was Kiddush Hashem. It's interesting, as a rationalist. Two different aspects of the tefillah. Okay? Two different. But it wasn't only because of Klal Yisrael. Interesting thing. It was because Salachti Kidvarach. Okay, but that's a separate thing. That's a rationalist. It wasn't. The Ramban learns, no. Ramban learns was just Hashem Hashem Kerachim Vachamim. That's what it means. The Rashi learns, no. It was Kidvarecha, is because of Chilul Hashem. Yeah, not because of us. An interesting thing. That means if it weren't for that tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu being spalkos of Kiddush Hashem, then the midas harachamim alone was not enough. That's the rationale. Salachti kidvarecha. It means everything you said, which means only because of the complete tefillah, which means the midas harachamim was employed, but that was Hashem kerachamim lachanun. It was employed midas harachamim. But because of the tefillah of Kiddush Hashem. Interesting thing.
Yes? So I understand why why it would be dependent on Moshe Tefillah for Rachman and for Bali Stone. But why would Kiddush Hashem be dependent on Moshe Tefillah? When God wanted Kiddush Hashem to be with
him? That's a separate area of Tefillah. That's it's a separate. You mean why you have to do any Tefillah for? Yes, no. What happened to the Spar for? Because that's the separate.
No,
what happens to what kind of from the Spar for? Wouldn't God do it?
What?
That's a person's Bechira. That's a person's Bechira is that the that it's only the because of the recognition of that need on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why the Tefillah was effective.
We hope that the Tefillah died from the Tefillah, or do we hope that it's going to affect some kind of
yeah, okay. What would be what you mispowel for? What you mispowel for is an opportunity, to be able to do tshuva. That's what we're being mispowel for. That was the slichus before tshuva. Slichus before tshuva. The slichus is recognition of the, of what chait is, and the fact that because we are immersed in chait, so that's why we're in a bad situation. So you're in a hopeless situation, so what are you being mispowel for? It's on the contrary, you should run and hide. But the answer is, because dark cholekenu lahara chapecha loroyim v'latovim, which means to say that's midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if the chote recognizes his state, and if he asks, if he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him out in that state, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him slicha. That's midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you're trying to accomplish. Trying to accomplish a situation where you can have an opportunity to do tshuva. If there's no opportunity, if you're chayef kloya, so that's it. There's no tshuva, there's no nothing. You don't have the opportunity.
It's really like a
stay of execution. That's right. That's slicha. Slicha is stay of execution. It's a stay of execution.
You said a similar idea.
That's it. Vayamar Shem Salachti Kidvarecha is a stay of execution. V'ulam chayoni. Then it goes through. It wasn't so simple. Stay of execution, but something's going to happen. It doesn't mean there's no ownership. No, mechila was a slicha. Lachti kidvarecha, vulam chayoni, ki anoshim, the Pasuk says, ki chol anoshim, ki chol anoshim, ram eskvodah, sosa, vashir, sinu, sinu, vaynasu, osi, zes, upon, when you are so arish, and ishbat lavos, and vachom anatsa, lo yirua. So the gzera was there, but it was a slicha. It was a stay of execution. That's basically what it was. So that's...
That's the same idea when you contrast it.
Okay, right. True. That is the idea. That's the difference slicha mechila. Mechila means that there's no gzera. But slicha is that's really that's what slicha is. That's why it's called slichas. Why is it called slichas? Because it's asking for slicha. It's asking for slicha. It means to say really. That's why I said it's a preamble to tshuva. Because if a person does not have the ideas of slichas, he really can't approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tshuva. He's not ready. Tshuva is a very sophisticated process. But in order to have tshuva, just a person just goes before God, and even if he admits he's guilty, but he's just involved in his guilt and trying to justify himself, that's an infantile kind of a thing. That's not what Yadus really wants to teach people. And that's an infantile thing, so he's worried about his guilt. Again, he's self-absorbed in his own guilt. That's not what Yadus is about. Yadus is Nachkor the Racheinu the Neshuva Hashem. It's a whole. It's Shuvas Magi Adam Kisei Hakavod. I mean, the whole person is in a different metaphysical state vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the process really has to start with the recognition of certain things about chait in general, that it's a reality. Chait is not a guilt trip. Chait is a reality. It's a distortion of the personality. It's a state in which the individual can never, even if he's not guilty, can never attain the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for man. It's an impossibility. If a person doesn't understand that, a person who doesn't understand those ideas, then his tshuva is, what is his tshuva? His tshuva is worthless. He has no concept of tshuva. He has no concept of reality. So the first thing that's necessary is the recognition that chait is a reality, and where in reality that places you, basically in a hopeless situation, but because of Nevoah says that if you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you will not receive Kliya, even though you deserve it. But there's an element of Slicha. Slicha, stay of execution. Then the individual has the ability to first place himself on a course where tshuva is in sight, you see, and where he can approach tshuva. That's really what Slicha says. Divrei tachnunim v'kivush. Tachnunim means for nothing. Matnas Shechina. Because without the matnas Shechina, we're chayav kliya right away, and we'll never be the state we can even do today. That's what Slicha says. Slicha is a recognition of two things. A recognition of the objective reality of what chayav, that's one. And two, a recognition of the fact that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaRachamim and Slicha, you'd never make it to Tshuva. That's all it is. Yeah. Hashiveinu first. I don't know, I can give reasons. What are the terms? This is why you said it. Yeah. Yeah, so therefore? Yeah, I know, but that's okay, yeah, right. I mean, it's true. It sounds like Canaan, but that's a different idea. Excuse me, it's not Canaan, it's different. It's different. Yes, that's different. It's different. Okay. That's best what it is. That's best. Okay. All right. I really wanted to speak about a little bit about Malchus, about Rashin, about Malchus. So the thing is, what is really Malchus? How do you define Malchus? What is the definition of Malchus? What's the definition of Malchus? So the definition of Malchus really is, the definition of Malchus is given in the Tefillah. It's really given in the Tefillah. It's given in the Tefillah on Tefillah's Rosh Hashanah on Musaf, where you have in the first one. Okay, in the Alkein Kavalacha. Alin l'shabech is an introduction, but al kein kavalcha is the tefillah. Al kein kavalcha ad Hashem alakein liros mehera b'seferes zechah. Okay, lahaver gulim oratz v'lulim kroisig reisim l'saken alam b'malchus shakai v'chovan evosa yikurish mecha. Yeah, yikurish mecha. Lafnes lach gershon yakiv yer koitz khot tfer kol berg tshov kol shon mus von nechor shim la ken yichu vi polu la khotshim khoy kai tenu, and here's the climax. The kabl khulam is all mal khosecho, right? That's it leads up. Okay, ki la khot tfer kol berg tshov kol shon fne gar shim la ken yichu vi polu, fine, and then what, la khotshim khoy kai tenu, fine, it was all good. Now what? Now then it says the kabl khulam is all mal khosecho the simla khalem mehira lolam. That's the climax. Okay? Ki amalchus shelachoi, ulo meyatim loich, kakos v'sasecha reshem yimloch lom boi. That's it. So malchus is really the kablu chula mes'ol malchus secha. What's the definition of malchus? It's kabolas ol malchus shemayim. Okay. So I just want to mention, what exactly do we mean by kabolas ol malchus shemayim? What exactly do we mean by Kabbalah Samach Shemayim? So if you take a look at the tefillah from Anshei Knesset Gdolah is Malach, right? It's interesting. I mean, it's like you'd imagine there'd be so many things over there, you know, but the tefillah is just so simple and plain. It's an amazing thing. The Naseh Kolars be Karecha Vaofa Bada Gaon Ezecha Koyesh Veseil Ezecha. And then he says, the Yeda kol pol ki ata fa'alto. The Yovin kol yotzer ki ata yitzarto. That's it. The Yomak Hashem Shem 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 Melech Mechusav Kol Yom Kama Shol. That's the Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. That's an interesting thing. So, So apparently Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim has a different meaning than, I mean, than what people normally think. And I want to show that really our idea of Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim is a completely different idea. Most people think Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim, the O is a yoke. Okay, it's a weight. It's something which weighs heavy on the just like a yoke on an ox. Okay, which restrains the ox. The ox wants to go in different paths, and the O restrains him. So most people think that that's O Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim means it's a heavy yoke that we carry, and this yoke is something which restrains us and prevents us from moving to the right or to the left, but following the correct course. Okay, that's the way most people understand O Malchus Shemayim. What I want to say is that's not correct. As a matter of fact, it's against the pasuk in Tehillim. Have a Tehillim now. And the Rambam quotes this pasuk in the Pirush Mishnayos. Rambam quotes pasuk in Pirush Mishnayos in the area of where it talks about the philosophy, the whole purpose of the whole Derech HaChaim. The Rambam quotes this pasuk. Pasuk like this. The pasuk says, "Al tiyu kisus kif." Paragraph base. Pasuk test. "Al tiyu kisus kiferet ein hovin." The mesek voresen edyo livlom bal krove lecha. So Rashi says it shouldn't be like a horse or a parrot is a kind of an ox, whatever. Okay, so it says ein hoven has no knowledge. So Rashi says sheina maven bein osel otov osel ra. He doesn't understand. So kishatam and mazgim bo b'meseg u'bolein piv u'makaskes berisno. U'kishatam makado makatzifo atasach livlon v'lizgo piv. So when you try to adorn the horse and put on his adornment, so he fights and he bucks and you have to fight with him. He doesn't recognize that really is something good. Okay, when you try to take care of him, you have to use a restrainer because he'll hurt you. So that's Altia Kisus Kefaret. So you see, on the contrary, the Pasuk says that's not what the all is. So you can't say that all Malchus Shemayim is a restrainer. It's an interesting thing. I mean, Altia Kisus Kefaret is just the opposite. Okay. So what is all Malchus Shemayim? What is all Malchus Shemayim? So it's interesting. So all Malchus Shemayim really is all Malchus Shemayim. And by the way, you see, the temp sukkum of Malchus doesn't really have to have the word Malchus, because the last pasuk of the Malchus is what? Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad. Okay, that's the last pasuk. Doesn't say Malch. Right? So you see, the pasuk, it has to do with the idea, and the same thing is the Devarach Emes V'Kayim Lo'ad. So it doesn't say Melech over there. There's something that gives Rachel Malkin, but the Ram didn't have the gear. So apparently Malchus is something which you could have even without the word Melech. Yeah. So what is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim? So it's interesting. So the Rambam says in Hilchas Krishna, so the Rambam says that it's based on a Gemara. But the Rambam says, wait, it's in Perek Aleph. So the Rambam says that Why do we read it that way? Okay. So he says, v'shas misaso, tzivom v'zirzom al yichur Hashem v'al derech Hashem sheholach bo Avram v'yitzchak aviv v'shoal osam v'yomar lahem bonai shema yesh bochem paslus mi she'ina omed imi b'yichur Hashem ki inyin she'omar lona Moshe Rabbeinu pen yesh bochem ish al isho av mishpacha shevet Hashem levalafon ayon emin Hashem alakenu the whole in Yitzavim this week's parasha Anu kulam v'omru Shema Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Kloma Shema mimenu avinu Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Posach hazokein v'omar Boruch shein kvod machus olam v'ed Mefichoch Nogu kol Yisrael loma Shevach Sheshivach bo Yisrael hazokein Achar posach zeh. Funny thing, it's a Gemara, it's a Gutter, but it's a, I mean, the Gemara, as I said, but the Rambam really took that Agada and said it's not just Divya Agada, but it's really, it's Halacha. So I just want to understand the story there, and why. So that happened to Yaakov Vino. So that's why we have to do it. I mean, what's the reason for it? I mean, what is it? It doesn't really explain anything. Moreover, the story itself is difficult to understand. Why? Because Yaakov said to his sons, he said, Shema Yesh Bochem Isha Isha, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Asher Levano Levav Fon Hayom, Yemeh Hashem Lekeinu, right? Okay, so they all said, Shema Yisrael Shalom Kenzo. Fine, what else are they going to say? I mean, they're not going to hurt his feelings. I mean, of course, they're going to tell him, so they say, no! So if they're up the course and they call for him, so they're going to be afraid to tell him a lie. I mean, What really is the Sipra Maisi that the Rambam is telling us? So I want to say it like this. If you take a look at the Rambam in the Yesodei Torah, so that's what the Rambam says. He speaks about Achdus Hashem. And Achdus Hashem, as we mentioned, I gave a shiur on this area that it's a separate mitzvah, and he said like this. He says, "Elokaze echadu veina shnayim ela echad she'ain ki yichudo echad mino achodim manimtzoim ba'olam lo echad kimin shehu kol achadim habei v'lo echad kiguf shehu nechlak lemachlokos v'lektzavos elo yichud." She'ein yichud acher kamoso ba'olam. Okay, and he says v'yediyas dovazeh mitzvah sasei she'nema ad Hashem alakenu Hashem echad. So what does that mean? So apparently, it's not enough for a Jew to know that there is a God that is the source of all existence and the source of all chachma, and everything that we have is because of God's existence. That's the first study. But it's more, you have to know Elokazeh Echad. Now it's interesting, what does Ram say? He says he is not one like a concept, because the truth of the matter is that an idea is something that has oneness. You say a triangle, so a triangle is one, the universal triangle is one, but there are many physical triangles. Okay, so an idea partakes of what the human mind can recognize as oneness. Okay. A person also, a person can think of as one, a particular, but a particular, let's say a particular amud. You say this is one. But the truth of the matter is that's really not one, because any physical thing is made up of components. Okay. So the particular is, so God, what the Rambam is saying, what is the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying this: God is not, God is, God's oneness is different than any kind of oneness that we can comprehend, because we have oneness in terms of a universal, but a universal is not a thing that exists. It's an abstraction. It's an abstraction of things that exist. On the other hand, we have particular things that exist, but they're not one because they're made up of components. That's not one. So the particular isn't one, you see, and the universal is not real, because the universal is an abstraction of the existence. God is real, and he's one, you see. That's, so when a person recognizes that, he recognizes that it's a yichud she'ein kamoho ba'olam. It's a different kind of one. Okay, it's a metaphysical. That's the metaphysical idea that Rambam is explaining. Okay, so really, so what it means is like this. So when a person recognizes that idea, he's involved in yichud. Yichud Hashem really. Yichud Hashem is that's what I mentioned in that shiur. That we say that's the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, Miyachadim Shemo. It means there are other nations that believe in God, but that's where it starts. They may even know, they may even go so far as the first, as understanding on a certain level the Yisoda Yisodos, that God is the source of all existence. But that's far as they go. But Klal Yisrael goes further into the ideas of God, into Yichud Hashem. So when Yaakov Avinu, this was Moshe Rabbeinu said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and they said it. It's not coincidental that because Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Moshe Rabbeinu said in Dvar, and he said Shema Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. But they said the same thing, you see, but it's not coincidental. Why? Because it means that they arrived at the same depth, at the metaphysical idea of Yichud Hashem. So when Yaakov Avinu was concerned about his children, so he said, maybe some of you are like Moshe Rabbeinu, deviated from the path, the Derech Avram, the Derech Hashem. So they said, no, they conveyed to him Achdus Hashem, and he knew that they had to be telling the truth, because a person that's a kofar doesn't work out grand metaphysical ideas about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not his area. So once they conveyed to him their insight into Yichud Hashem, so Yaakov Avinu said, Baruch Shein Kvar Mechus L'Olam Vaed. What does that mean? That means the recognition of the idea of God. That is the Malchus Shemayim. Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is not a restraint. Alkim Kisus Kefarad. It means Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is the recognition of Yichud Hashem. When a person has a Diyas Hashem, so then immediately he feels, immediately, like the Rambam says, he's Nitel Achorov. It means he recognizes that he's a Briya Shvela Vafela Omi Bidas Muto Lefneitan Deos. That's Kabbalah Samal Hashem. And you see, in our Kabbalah Samal Hashem, there's Lahavdil the Goyim, Lahavdil by the Umosan, they always have, they accept, they believe, they all these things. That's Avodah Zarah. Our Kabbalah Samal Hashem is through Yedias Hashem. That's a different kind of Hashem. And I have a proof for it. What's the proof? The proof is because the introduction to Kriya Shema, what do you have in the introduction to Kriya Shema? So you have the brachas, because the brachas, the first two brachas are an introduction to Kriya Shema. The first one is Bria Sa'olam, and the second one is Ava Rabbos Matan Torah, right? So in the first one, it explains what Kabbalah Samal Hashemayim. It explains the ultimate Kabbalah Samal, which is the Kabbalah Samal Hashemayim of who? The Malachim. V'chula mekablam aleihem ol Malchus Shemayim zeh mizeh. And those in Rishus elazeh lahakish liyosu menachas roh. So what does it mean? Does a Malach have a desire to do something, to act instinctively? There's no instincts. It's not possible. So how could a Malach be mekablam Malchus Shemayim? How is it possible that that should happen? So what's the answer? The answer is because the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is his Yediyas Hashem. Through Yediyas Hashem, through La'adish Liyotzram B'nachas Ruach, Kadosh, Baruch Kvod Hashem M'Kamo, it means the metaphysical knowledge that they have is a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, because once the person understands, has Yediyas Hashem, he naturally falls in line with his purpose in life. The Malach is Makabla Malach Shemayim. What does it mean? It means he understands. And through his understanding, he moves. He's moved by his knowledge in the path which is his path, that is the correct path for him as a creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as a creature, you see. And Adam has the ability also to on his level to also be like a Malach, insofar as Kabbalah from Malach Hashemayim. So the Kabbalah from Malach Hashemayim, our Kabbalah from Malach Hashemayim, that's Malchus Hakadosh Baruch Hu, is a different kind of a concept. And that's why the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, when they described Kabbalah from Malach Hashemayim, they described it in a way that you wouldn't expect. I mean, you expect that they would say everybody should get together and shout and say we're Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. The Yeda Kol Pol Ki Ata Falto, the Yovin Kol Yotzer Ki Ata Yitzarto. It means to the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. So that recognition and basically that ties into what I said before, that the slichas darkechol ekenu laharech apecho laroyim v'latovim means nach besod rachinu v'nachtav v'neshuva l'Hashem, means that the turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, and that is because the person recognizes that that's the only one he can turn to, because he is your creator. You see, the relationship, the natural relationship that exists when a person has das, is the recognition that the only one that's important, the only one that's significant, the only one who you should be concerned about is the Borei Olam, is your Yotzer. Yedar kol pol ki ata falto, v'yoven kol Yotzer ki ata yitzato, and the recognition that is the only one that I have to be concerned about. That in his eyes, so to speak, my existence should be correct. You see, that is the only thing that's of significance. And that idea, that's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. So Yadus stands apart in so far as its formula of what really Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is. Yeah.
Right, I don't want to.